I would ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 13. And as you do so, I do want to just say I believe it's probably been almost every year except for maybe one, Pastor. And maybe there was a couple in there. I haven't really checked the calendar. But I believe you've had me preach either the Sunday of or the Sunday before my anniversary being here on staff here. So on Wednesday, or on Thursday the 16th, so November 16th of 2014, was my first Sunday on staff here, and so that would be 8 years ago on Thursday. Time flies. So, Pastor, he hasn't said, all right, Pritchett, hit the door, yet. That's why there's yes, sir, yes, sir. No, I've enjoyed myself, and I've enjoyed being the assistant to Pastor and being able to minister alongside of him, and man, these last 8 years I've just growing and just learning, and I appreciate the prayers that he has prayed over me and just what he has given to me over that time, and plenty of books along the way, but plenty of teaching and correcting. I'm not going to say there wasn't any of that, but it's been a joy, it's been a pleasure, and thank you, Madison Baptist Church, for putting up with me. And for being being a blessing to my family and me, we count it a joy to serve here with you. With that being said, you should have found your place in Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to read a few verses here. We'll pray, then we'll read a few more verses in Proverbs 15, and then we'll go to Joshua chapter 6. So I'm just warning you ahead of time, we're going to do some page turning this evening, all right? And you'll be going back and forth. But with all that being said, let's read this and Pastor, I didn't think to ask you, time-wise. Yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir. I see the clock now. All right. Actually, I'm blind. I can't see that clock. All right. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Bible says this, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." I would like you to just recognize really one word. We're going to look at all these verses. Really, it's going to be with the Lord's help towards the end of the message. But I do want to keep in mind one word here, and that's in verse number 16. That word is prudent. Prudent. Very important word, and it's probably not a word we think about too much. But we ought to be prudent individuals. And we'll get into a little bit about what that behind that term and what a prudent individual is or what it looks like, if you will. But with the Lord's help, we'll get into that. And Lord willing, send you away from here, not wanting to shoot Brother Pritchett. But, well, maybe you might want to shoot Brother Pritchett after it's all said and done with this. But with the Lord's help, this will be a blessing to you. But let's pray, and then we'll turn to Proverbs 15. Heavenly Father, do thank and praise your name for this opportunity to be able to open up your word. Lord, I ask and pray that it is your will that is done at this moment and in this at this very time. May it be your voice that is heard this evening. Yes, Heavenly Father, there's a vessel here that you are using to present and to share a truth from your word. Lord, may it not be the vessel that is lifted up and magnified. May it be you that is lifted up and magnified. This is your word, Heavenly Father. And it needs to get all the praise. It needs to get all the glory that we can give it. And Lord, there's really not enough that we can give. But Lord, with what you've given to us, we will do our very best to give you our best and to give you the praise and the glory and worship and honor that you deserve and that your word deserves. Lord, I ask and pray that you would guide and direct in what is said tonight. May it be a help and a blessing. May it be an encouragement. May it be correction. May it be profitable where it needs to be profitable, Heavenly Father. And I ask and pray again that you would guide and direct in and through it all, that you would get the glory. May your word have free course and your spirit have free reign in this place. Please minimize the distractions. Lord God, I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So we just read Proverbs 13 before we prayed. Let's go to Proverbs 15. With the Lord's help, get back to Proverbs 13 here a little bit later. But I wanted to read that by way of our opening scripture reading. But let's go to Proverbs 15. We're going to read several verses here. And I want you to just follow along. And as we get into the message, I think you'll understand where all this is tying in together. But let's start with verse number 5 of Proverbs 15. We're going to read verses 5 and 6, and we'll go down to verse 16, and I'll lead you along here. But Proverbs 5 or 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Let's go down to verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Verse number 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Let's move over to chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And let's go down to verse number 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, you're wondering, where are we going with all of these passages? I'm going to ask you to turn to one more passage of Scripture here, and we're going to go to the book of Joshua in chapter number 6. All right, so bookmark Proverbs 15 and 16. Bookmark there, because we're going to go back and forth here. But there is, in these verses, and really the ones that we started out with in Proverbs 13, there is a recipe for our lives. There is a recipe that we ought to follow, and it deals with this theme of prudence. And let me just give you, I was going to give you this a little bit later, but the word prudent means this: one who is cautious, circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences of enterprises, measures, or actions. One who's foreseeing by instinct, wise and intelligent. And I put it in my own words, this: one who keeps the future in mind when making a decision. Okay, so keep those things in mind as we go to with the verses we just read. And now let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6, and let's read verses 16 through 19. I'll read aloud and follow along here. And it came to pass, by the way, this is at the conquest of Jericho. This is on the final day. The children of Israel have already marched 6 days. They've marched one time around the walls of Jericho. They're on the last and final day. They've marched around the 7 times. And this is what Joshua says. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And yea, in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the Lord has already given the plans to Joshua. Joshua has relayed them to the people. Now he's reminding them, we're going around this last and final time. The priest will blow the trumpet. We're going to shout. The walls will come down. Now remember, the spoil, you know, whenever you win the battle, the victor claims the spoil. But in this very case, God had already said to Joshua, and Joshua relayed this to the people, do not touch it. Leave it alone. It belongs to me. In my mind, I tend to think that's the tithe. That's my mind. You can take it for what it's worth. I'm not going to argue with it, but it's the first. It's the first battle that they fought. And you know what? It belongs to God. That first 10% of what we make really ought to belongs to God. So again, I'm not going to argue with it over it, but that's, in my opinion, this is the tithe for God. And he's saying, do not touch it. We can go to Malachi 3, and we know about the text that we're not to rob God. We're not going to go, that's another sermon for another night. But I want you to remember the instructions that they have been given by God to Joshua, and now they are to follow these instructions. Now, before we get any further into this chapter here, and actually, let's go down to verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse number 1 of chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. Remember what Joshua had already said about the accursed thing. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So now, we've Command has been given. The instructions have been given. The plan has been laid out. Joshua said, do not touch. This is what God said. Do not touch. Yet we find here in Joshua chapter 7, in that very first one, very first verse, we find a man, Achan, who, if I can put it this way, despised. He disregarded the instructions that was given to him. The Bible tells that he took of that accursed thing. Now, we're going to read a few more verses here in just a moment, but this is where I said you're going to need to go back and forth between here and the book of Proverbs. So bookmark Joshua chapter 6 and 7, and let's go back to Proverbs chapter 15. Now, remember, I mentioned a recipe for our lives. So let me ask you this as you turn back to Proverbs chapter 15. What recipe for life are you following? Those of you that, ladies in here, and there's probably some guys in here that enjoy to cook, some of you probably can probably cook something without a recipe, but you probably had to use the recipe in the beginning, and then you perfected it, yada, 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 you get that. But, you know, sometimes it's just good to go back to the recipe and see, okay, this is what I want. Hey, there's the picture of whatever the meal is, whatever the dessert or whatever it is that you're making. This is what I want to get to. This recipe here is going to get me to that point where I know it's going to taste good. And then when you deviate from it, then at the end, it's like, that picture doesn't match that picture, and I don't know what happened. Well, there's probably more salt over here than sugar, and then, yeah, you pour more eggs, whatever. But follow the recipe. So I ask the question, what recipe in life, are you following? Because we read in Proverbs 13 that he that feareth the commandment of the Lord, there is a reward. So what type of reward would you like? What type of reward would you like when we stand before, lay prostrate before, kneel before, whatever's going to happen when we come in the presence of the Lord after he comes back and the rewards are given to him? What type of reward would you like to receive? What recipe for life are you following? Now, we've just read about Achan here in Joshua chapter number 5. Or I'm sorry, in Joshua chapter number 6. We saw what he did. Now, here's a formula not to follow. Okay? We're back in Proverbs 15. Look at verse 5 now. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Now, I realize Joshua is not Achan's father, but the father is the authority. He is the one that is giving the command, the instruction. This is what you need to follow. And if you don't follow this, there is going to be a poor consequence, or there's a damaging consequence coming your way. Well, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. So first off, the first part of this recipe that's going to start going south for Achan is he despised the instruction of the authority. We already read that. Let's look at verse number six. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Now, we haven't read that yet, but we continue on in Joshua chapter 7. We find out that the next battle is against the small city of Ai, and the children of Israel say, yeah, we're not going to send everybody to the battle. Let's just send a small army. We can wipe these guys out, no problem, yada, yada, yada. Well, for one, they didn't seek the Lord's face to see, hey, is that the right plan? And two, are we clean? It said they just went to battle and men die because of the fact that Achan had taken this sin. Now, if they had gone to the Lord would reveal that right away. Then we have later in that narrative, the children of Israel are weeping. They're crying, what happened? And then Joshua falls on his face. I believe he rent his clothes. And God tells him, why are you crying? You didn't come to me in the first place. So there's sin in the camp. If you had come to me, I would have told you. There is sin in the camp, and it needs to be dealt with. There is trouble. The revenue, or if I can put it this way, the return in Achan's case brought trouble. We'll find out it wasn't just for him, but it was for the children of Israel as well. So in verse number 6, the revenues of the wicked is trouble. So this recipe is just going worse. He despises instruction. What he took is bringing trouble. He lacked a fear of the Lord. Verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. He has a lacking for the fear of the Lord. And what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We find here that greed, covetousness brought trouble into his own house. Verse number 27, He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Let's go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. And let's look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. Now, they've Joshua and the leaders, they've cast lots. They're pulling families. All right, it's come down to the tribe of Judah. And in the tribe of Judah, the Zarhites were taken. And then Zabdi was taken. And verse number 18, he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, he was then taken. Then verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Note this here. When I saw, where does sin begin? What is it? Is it the lust of the eyes? When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Hey, that's a great return right there. Problem. There's not going to be a problem. Then I, he admitted it, coveted, greed. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. His greed, covetousness, just took hold. He looked upon, oh man, I'd love to have that. That's a pretty nice, man, that's a blazing red blazer. Man, I'll look good in that. He goes, ooh, and there's a stack of money there. I don't think, there's plenty of money here. I don't think anybody's going to be missing this. Nobody's counted it yet, so what does it matter if I take a little bit of this? And what is it, a wedge of silver? Wedge of gold, 50 shekels in weight? Man, nobody's going to miss this. Nobody's ever going to know. You're right. Nobody, humanly speaking, may ever know. But there is a God who knows. Let's see here. Greed troubled his house. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 8. Now, think of this first word, better. It is better. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better it is with a little. You know what? We can be content with even just a little. Because really, when we think about it, everything that we have, we don't deserve in the first place. Nothing that we have, we deserve in the very first place. God is gracious enough, merciful enough to give us what we need. He's made sure that we have food and that we have raiment. Praise God for both. Some of us, we praise God a little bit more for that food. Amen. But better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Just simply put, Achan didn't do right. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This recipe isn't sounding like a great recipe, is it? It sounds more like a recipe for disaster. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way. What do we know about the heart? The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. In fact, God even says in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, that the heart of man is evil continually. What do you think was guiding Achan's thought process that day? And my guess is this wasn't just a overnight, oh, that looks great. There probably may have been some other things in the past. The Bible doesn't say, but judging by human nature, people don't necessarily go from 0 to 60. There's sometimes a gradual slipping, a gradual, hey, I'm not going to read my Bible today. I'm not going to spend time in prayer today. I was spending an hour with God, and now I'm spending 5 minutes with him. And it's as I'm throwing a Pop-Tart in my mouth and brushing my teeth as I'm ironing out the door to get to work. His deceitful heart devised his way. He said, I saw, I coveted, and I hid. He covered it. He covered it up. And his way led to literal death. Proverbs 16:25 and Proverbs 14:12 say the very same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Who's going to know? Nobody's going to see that I took this stuff. It's okay. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Joshua chapter 7. And Joshua and all Israel with, let's see, verse 24, took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them. They didn't take anything. They didn't do anything wrong. But I almost kind of think, and Pastor, you said something along the lines the other day, that whenever a life was taken, a picture was destroyed, a picture that God wanted in place was broken, was destroyed. God had to get rid of that. He had to get that blot, if you will, out of the children, out of the camp, so that he could once again bless. But his way led to the literal death of his own family, who was burned with fire, and after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Let me ask you something. You think Achan was a prudent man, or was he a fool? Let's go back. If you're still in Proverbs 15, let's go back and look at it again here. Proverbs 15, verse number 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You know, maybe if God had given Achan another chance, he would have like, yeah, I'm not doing that again. He didn't get another chance. Praise God that when we make a mistake, when we fail him, and we're at fault, he does give us another chance. He does give us second chances, and third, and fourth, and so on. You get the idea. And thankfully that we can go to him, we confess our sin, and know that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But do you see how following this recipe may not be a wise choice for our lives? Achan, a fool. He was not a prudent man. I was talking about a recipe to start off with. Let me get my bookmark back here. Think of a baker, all right? Somebody who enjoys baking, and I know there's several of you that enjoy baking because I've gotten to enjoy some of those some of those desserts. But a prudent baker seeking to make some delectable, delicious treat or bake good would do themselves well to follow the recipe he or she has been given, so as to come to his or her desired end or result. I get it. Those of you that bake, you can bake long enough. You can bake whatever it is with blindfolded. You can just, you know, okay, here's a pinch of sugar. Oh, wait, that said pinch. Sorry. Nobody will notice, right? It's not going to be that salty or that sweet. We'll figure that out. Heart. But a prudent baker would follow the recipe that he or she has been given. Take, for instance, I can't watch them anymore. We used to, those baking shows, it's like, oh man, I can't watch this because I want to just reach through the screen and just grab what you just made and eat that. And some of them will go, and even some of those kids, those junior bakers, it's like, you're 6 years old? You're like my daughter's age. How are you baking that? You shouldn't be touching that torch, by the way. But they have recipes that, in some cases, under the pressure, they may forget something here and there, and then you get the scene, somebody's crying over their whipped cream that doesn't have stiff peaks, or it just scoop it, or you open up the oven and, well, that didn't rise. Well, here we go again, because they probably forgot something in that recipe. But a prudent baker will follow his or her recipe. Let's look a little bit more about prudence here before we finish up and tie this up. Let's look at Proverbs. We're back in Proverbs. That will be it for Joshua chapter 6 and 7. So you're back in Proverbs. Let's look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. A foolish person acts without thinking. A prudent person thinks about decisions before making them. A prudent person is also not easily deceived, because they'll have taken a moment and All right, Lord. Your word may necessarily say this black and white, but there's a principle that I know that I can follow, that I can make a decision upon, and know that it's going to be pleasing you because I'm taking you at your word. So I'm believing you, I'm trusting you that your word is right. Faith is the only thing that pleases our Lord and Savior. I'm trusting you that this principle, so I'm not easily, well, I can follow this principle and not be easily deceived. A prudent individual is not easily deceived, makes or thinks about decisions before making them. Proverbs 14, verse 15. We're in verse number 8. Let's look at it, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Chapter 22, verse 3. Chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Someone who is prudent recognizes red flags. There's something not right with that teaching, with what they're doing, with that, whatever that is. There's something not right about this. There's a red flag here. And Lord, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm asking for your help. A prudent individual, the wisdom of the prudent, which I believe a prudent individual, not all prudent individuals, I believe, are wise. There's a difference between being prudent and being wise. Otherwise, it would have just said the wise, prudent man, but it says the wisdom of the prudent man. Because there are those that think about decisions, but they may not necessarily be wise. We can go outside in the political realm and yada, yada, yada. But when we talk about wisdom, in this case, it's godly wisdom. Remember, this world's wisdom is devilish. It's foolishness. I believe that's James chapter 4, James 5. But the wisdom that comes from above is what we desire, what we ought to desire. But someone who is prudent recognizes red flags. They know when to back away or flee. However, unwise individuals keep going and ignore the warning signs to their own destruction. Bad example number 2, and relates two individuals, Ananias and Sapphira. We have an Old Testament bad example. We have a New Testament bad example. The recipe, despising instruction from your authority. Now, in their case, they were selling property. If you probably remember the time, what's going on here, the church is growing, but there are those that are lacking. They have needs. So there are folks in the church that are selling possessions, they're selling lands, they're selling this thing and that thing, so they can help and provide for those that are in need. Ananias and Sapphira, they're like, hey, we can get on this act. We got some land. We've got something we can sell. Let's sell it. And hey, now we don't know how much they're going to give, but it sounds like to me that they made a vow saying, hey, we're going to give this money, this amount of money for this, that we or the, all the money that we make on this property, and we're going to give it. But we find in Acts chapter 5, I put it this way, they despised their own vow that they made. They're like, let's keep back part of it. And not only was Ananias knowing about it, but the Bible says that even his wife, Sapphira, was privy to it. They despised the vow. They despised even the authority of the Spirit of God. Because who did Peter say that they lied to? Was it to man? He said it was to the Holy Ghost. They kept back part of the price. So we already talked about the revenue of the wicked is trouble. That brought trouble. They lied to the Holy Ghost. In Proverbs 15:16, the part of that recipe, better is little with the fear of the Lord. They didn't fear God. They lied. Their greed brought trouble into their home. They didn't do right by attempting to deceive. And then their deceitful hearts devised their own way. Peter said to both Ananias and Sapphira, you both have lied and you have tried to cover it. The Bible tells us they both died. See, that's probably a recipe for our lives we don't want to follow. So prudence, being cautious, being circumspect, thinking about the future. In Achan's case, he thought, yeah, I'm thinking about the future. I'm going to be rich. Got this money. I've got this garment. I can put this garment on eBay and I can make a killing off of this thing. Right? Yeah, he was thinking about the future. but he didn't think about the consequences that were going to come in the future. Ananias and Sapphira, they were thinking about the future. Hey, we're going to help somebody, but let's help ourselves a little bit too. In both cases, there's lying, there's deceit, there's covering up of sin. You know what the Bible says about he that covers up sin shall not prosper. Those individuals were fools. Recipes we don't want to follow. Prudence, though, is needed more than just... Now, if you look at those are financial, in a way, financial situations. But prudence is needed in more than just financial situations. Some other areas I would think that would be needed in is just, first, personally, our daily walk. Our personal daily walk. You know what? I can skip out on this, on reading my Bible today, and I think I'll be okay. I read it yesterday. And actually, I read a lot yesterday. That should make up for today. I should be good for today and come back to it tomorrow, right? That should work out. Oh, but then tomorrow comes. Oh man, I woke up. I overslept. I gotta get out the door. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to spend with God. I'll get to it tomorrow. And then the day after, it's something else comes up. This comes up. You thought 3 days ago, I'll get to this. It's like, I'll be fine. But you didn't necessarily look ahead to the future. Not spending time with God, neglecting that personal devotion, that personal pursuit of God, neglecting that, what that would do in the long run. And really, I don't think it really takes much. It doesn't take much. Miss one day, miss another day, just like exercising. You get going, and then it's like, okay, I need to take a break. I'm still hurting. I need to take the next day. Next day off. Well, that's us when it comes to spiritual exercise. We need to exercise spiritually, if you will. But in our personal walk, in our daily walk with God, Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest," keep this word in mind, "observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Psalm 1:1-3, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night in this future. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season." And you know, fruit doesn't just grow. You don't plant it one day, and then the next day there's fruit. Looking off into the future, off into the distance, "he shall be bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Acts 17, talking about the Bereans. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed." They heard the word. They recognized what the word of God could do in their lives. Therefore, many of them believed. So I believe that prudence, looking ahead, one keeping their eyes on the future, is needed, not only just in financial reasons, but in our personal walk. It's needed in our family. Now, I'm not going to get into all this, but if you go to Jeremiah 35, there's the Rechabites. And this family group, they haven't settled really. They're nomads. But there was something about them that God wanted Jeremiah to bring out to the children of Israel in this time, was that they obeyed and honored what a descendant probably years ago had put forth. And he only gave them one commandment. Well, I mean, he gave more than one, but he gave one commandment. And that was, they set wine before the family. And they said, "We're not drinking wine. We're not going to do it because our father said that we should not drink wine." Now, that doesn't necessarily give a reason, but what we're getting across here is that Jonadab is I believe is who is mentioned there, the son of Rechab, so the father, if you will, of the Rechabite family. He had reminded his children of what God had said back in Exodus, that you obey, you're going to live in this land I can put it this way, forever. At the end of Jeremiah chapter 35, God said to Jeremiah, tell the Rechabites, there is not going to be one man that fails of their family for generations to come. Because one man looked ahead to the future and his family kept up with that. But it's, prudence is good in our finances, our daily walk, our families, recreation, habits, routines, our relationships. Proverbs 13, 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Second Corinthians talks about being not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's separation there. So in our relationships, because young folks, this is for you. Especially, I know I'm not teaching the teen class right now, but for the teenagers, for the college and career age, the relationships that you have today can either make or break you down the road. They can either make or break you. The Bible does not mince words. He that walketh with wise men. And who's a wise man? One that fears the Lord, that obeys his word. I'm blanking on the scripture now. Jesus said, he that heareth my word, and he said something about, I'm blanking. Don't worry about it. Brother Pritchett, there's your shoot, Brother Pritchett moment. But he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. But you know what? It doesn't just say that about young people. It goes for adults too. Business relationships. Bible is very clear about that. Prudence is needed in our work, in our employment. Servants, Colossians 3, 22, 25, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Prudence is needed in those instances. So let me finish. I've given you a bad recipes. Don't follow these. Here's a good recipe to follow. Let's go back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. I'll give you four D's recipe for a desired result. And really, the Lord is giving this to you. Proverbs 13. Let's go back to where we started the message this evening. Verse 13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The first D, simply this, despise not the word. Despise meaning to set it naught, to look down on with disdain. Consider the instruction. Consider the recipe that you've been given. Fix your mind. Considering means to fix your mind on, to view attentively. It means pay attention to what it says. If it says a teaspoon of salt and you break up the tablespoon, you may have a little issue when it comes down the road taste-wise. Or you need to put X amount of eggs in. If you don't put enough eggs in, the texture, things just don't work out, don't come together as well. And those of you that are bakers, don't shoot me. I don't really know how to bake. It's just, I watch those shows, and they're just popping eggs in there and dumping sugar and blueberries and this and that. It's like, okay, they know what they're doing. I'm sure it's going to taste good when it's all said and done with. Maybe. And then the judge gets there, and yeah, that's a whole different story. But anyway, but that recipe, despise not the word. Consider the instruction. Fix your mind on it. View it attentively. And it's Joshua 1:8. Observe to do. Observe is part of that definition of to consider, but despise not the word. However, let's look at let's get you number two here. Deem the word worthy and follow it. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Again, what reward would you like? What recipe in this life are you following? God's word is worthy and is truth, and it needs to be obeyed. Number three, depart from the snares. Verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Let's look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If there is a sign that says evil this way, I'm probably not going to want to go that way. But if there's a sign that says this is the right way, okay, God, that's the door I need. That's the path I need to walk. I need to walk down. That's the door I need to walk through. God said it. I'm going straight. Not turning this way. Not turning that way. What God's word says this, and I'm sticking to it. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Depart from the snares of death. So despise not the word, deem the word worthy and follow it. Depart from the snares. And then lastly, verse number 16 of chapter Proverbs 13, deal in knowledge. Deal in knowledge. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Knowledge is what you have learned. You know, we may not necessarily understand and know everything, but what we do know, hey, that's what God's word says. That's what's right. I'm following that. Have discretion. Stick with what you know is the truth. This is the truth. Stick with it. Considering with yourself and even perhaps consulting with others. The Bible does say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly. So you don't want to walk in that counsel. But blessed, if you reverse that around, blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the godly. Find somebody that has godly wisdom. Based on this book, have discretion. Don't be hasty or rash. It's foolishness. It's what the fool does. Following the God-ordained recipe will certainly spare some major headache down the road. Not saying life is going to be easy. We don't want to be like Achan. We don't be like his family. What happened to them were Ananias and Sapphira. And according to God's word, their reward was just. Because his ways are right. His ways are perfect. So ask yourself this. Do I despise any part of the word of God? Any part of his recipe? Do I deem his word unworthy of following? Do I allow God to have a say in what I do? And am I dealing in knowledge what the word of God has revealed? Think about those questions. Ask those of yourself. And if there's any despising of God's word, or if you're like, God's word, or God, you don't have any say in my life, or you know what? I'm just going to do what I want. We want to check ourselves. For starters, though, let's commit to not follow the bad recipes, but commit ourselves to following God's recipe. Because, you know, his reward is worth it.